Welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
No big deal, Jay. Just sitting here plotting revenge against my political rivals.
As you do.
Next election. As you do.
It's the new thing, man. You don't even need any evidence. You just revenge. Because that's exactly how impeachments work. You just base them on revenge, not on actual facts. At least that's what Republicans do. So, yeah, first
historically.
Off. Historically, yeah. This, hey, man, maybe we'll find some. Maybe somebody's getting a blowjob. I don't know. So, obviously, the big news today or this week is that Joe Biden is in a world of probably not trouble. Republicans have decided they are going to do what Republicans did to Bill Clinton, which I can only – best describe it in the way that comedian Lewis Black described it, which is get a gun, aim it right at the president, and shoot themselves in the face. Because that's what's going to happen. According to the Daily Beast, as they open this article, the call is coming from inside the House and the Senate. Republicans are starting an inquiry into impeaching Joseph Robinette Biden. Brad, how afraid are you that they're going to find something?
I'm about as afraid as John Fetterman was in that TikTok that he released that went viral, where as Andy said, he gave like the Scott Hall like spooky fingers, like ooh, like what's gonna happen? So here's the possible scenarios that can arise from this, and you tell me which of these is advantageous for Republicans. Okay. Here we go. So the minuscule chance that there is some secret Joe Biden corruption out there that they find and they actually impeach him and try him in the Senate. That's a good scenario for Republicans, right? Like if they find that, like that's good news for them. Here's the other ways this can play out though. And in fact, the much more likely ways this is going to play out. The inquiry yields nothing. And therefore, they don't even have an impeachment vote in the House. The inquiry either yields nothing, and they still choose to have the impeachment vote, and it fails.
Okay.
Or
that's the scenario I'm going with. Go ahead.
Yeah. Or the inquiry reveals like some like cloudiness, but like nothing concrete, and then they still have the impeachment vote, and it fails. Yeah. Right. Or nothing like they find nothing, they have the impeachment vote, somehow it succeeds, and then they have the trial in the Senate and nothing happens. Like you know, the senators vote like 85-10 or 85-15 for acquittal. Right. And it becomes like a massive embarrassment for Republicans.
I'm confused as to that scenario as where are the Democrats? The Democrats were just like, oh, you didn't find anything? Absolutely. Let's get on board, right? Because you need 2/3, right, of the House to agree.
Yes.
That's like 290 votes. They have Republicans, correct me if I'm wrong, have 200.
No, not 2/3 of the House. No. For the impeachment? You just need your
is it just
you just need a simple majority. Yeah, you just need a majority.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 2/3. Okay. So yeah. This is not going anywhere. One, this is definitely not going to pass in the Senate. And it's not even going to be fucking close, right? Like, I don't mean just like, luckily the Democrats control. No, this is not going to work. Look, rhetoric and sort of reality is where everything falls apart for sort of what I would refer to as kind of internet-based Republicanism, right? You go on, God forbid, I mistakenly went on Twitter today. I was like, oh, that's right. This is why I don't use this platform. Holy shit. The heck is but you go on Twitter and there's all of these, you know, people who have $8 less in their bank account every month who are hardcore Republicans. And they're just like, listen, you know, they've got more information on Joe than Democrats had on Trump for those other two impeachments. And people are just like in the cons, like there's all these people like, yeah, you're right. But then there's like obviously people who pay attention, like, what are you talking about? Like,
right.
Like, Are you paying attention to what's happening right now? Like, what are you? It's crazy.
I don't remember which Republican it was, but they had a press conference, or they had like a press availability outside the House today. And some reporter, I assume from like The Guardian or something, because it was a British reporter, asked him, like, what are you basing this on? Like, what evidence have you seen? Like, every hearing that you guys have had so far, like, has shown nothing linked to Joe Biden. Like, sure, you found some shit about Hunter Biden, but nothing to do with Joe Biden. And basically, like, this House member's argument in favor of opening this inquiry was like, well, just look at Joe Biden's house. Like, how could he afford that house on the salary of a senator? That's all you have to do is look at his house and you know there's something going on. I'm like, are you guys really going to potentially base the future of control of the House of Representatives on look at this guy's house?
Yeah.
There's got to be something hiding there just because
they're vibes. The vibes are off, bro. Like, the vibes are off. They are basically saying, why don't we just take our political future, our, you know, sort of immediate political future, and just bet it on a horse? Like, what's the difference?
and not even like the favored horse. Like, they're like betting it on like the, yeah, like the fucking limp horse at the back of the field that that's gonna go to the glue factory with the
right. Yeah, glue stick over here. Yeah, he's gonna win the Kentucky Derby. Like, he's not gonna win. So yeah, it's a bit weird. I mean, I think we all know why this is happening, which is,
oh sure,
this is revenge, right? You guys impeached mm-hmm. Donald Trump twice, and that's not fair. So we get to impeach your guy. Yeah, but why though? Like, you don't have anything. And look, I think there is. I think you're right. I think those scenarios are the likely outcomes, right? But I think that, like, as I said, they will probably go forward with an impeachment, even if they don't have anything, right? They'll go forward with a vote, and it'll die in the Senate. But, you know, as I think about it, there is actually a higher likelihood that it will fail in the House. Not that it'll fail in the House, that they won't even have a vote, right? I think they're going to get so fucking embarrassed, and the last thing they'd want to do is actually vote on it and just be like, you know what, just scuttle it. Like, they'd wait.
So what you're saying is then their grand plan is to have an impeachment inquiry and to announce at the end of the inquiry, oh, Joe Biden's actually clean, so we're not even going to vote for impeachment. Great strategy. I think, you know, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that this guy that you've told us is corrupt for the last 3 years actually is very much the opposite of corrupt. Does not bode well for you in 2024. Like emboldens his right. prospects even.
Right. And look, I know that that's going to sound ridiculous to somebody, like, oh, that you're crazy. But you have to understand that politically, when you decide that, okay, we don't have evidence and we're going to send this up for a vote, you make your failure a massive bit of national news, right? Because Trump not getting impeached, not being found guilty of impeachment, everyone already knew that. Like, going in, everyone knew Republicans were never going to vote for it. And it wasn't because Trump was innocent. It was because they were literally playing politics, right? Like, that's a vast difference. And I think the vast majority of people understand that. That's not the same with Biden. One, Democrats would, in fact, vote for impeachment if they thought it was something legitimate. Like, they would. They'd be like, dude, I can't fucking support it. There's enough very liberal-minded senators that just wouldn't be like, nah, like, I'm not going to stand for this, mm-hmm. right? I don't see a scenario where they're going to want to keep this as a big national story that they failed to get this guy at the end of the day. I think if they figure out that there's nothing there, and there's nothing seemingly there, right? Because they're just doing the inquiry at this point. They're just like, I don't know, just fucking, maybe there'll be a blowjob. Like they're fishing.
It's funny when you think of, well, it's funny to draw the parallels with Clinton, because with Clinton, what people forget is that they fell into the Lewinsky scandal I'm done calling that because that's not fair to her. They fell into the intern scandal and the lying to the FBI thing. But that's not what opened the inquiry into Bill Clinton. What opened the inquiry is they had they thought they had probable cause on a wonky real estate deal.
Yeah, the Whitewater. Yeah.
Whitewater scandal. And that is more of a predicate to open an inquiry than anything that they have that they don't have on Joe Biden. Because again, like we've heard, they've had their kangaroo court hearings in the House while they've been in control this past year. And literally all that they've come up with is like, hey, Hunter Biden traded on his name. Hunter Biden might have been involved in some shady shit. Hunter Biden, you know, did drugs and, you know, illegally bought a gun and shit like that. But Joe Biden, but they have not been able to link Joe Biden to any of this stuff. And in fact, they've had people testify as their witnesses. They're like, oh, this guy's going to tie Joe Biden. And then they get in front of Democrats and Democrats are like, yeah. So like, you don't have any proof that Joe Biden is involved in this in any way. And they're like, well, no. Yeah, it's just Hunter Biden. But, you know, but he's got to be involved because it's his dad. Like, no. Like, are you all constantly involved with things that your dad's doing all the time? Like, fucking whatever. And
Trump kids are like, no, that's exactly what we do. Like, 100%.
Yeah, like Trump Jr. So, like, to get back to the original point, the Clinton impeachment had a better predicate to be opened.
Yes.
And it still blew up in their face.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Right. And you're coming into this purely out of spite. That's right. It. They hate that Trump got impeached. They hate it even more that Trump got impeached twice, right? No other president's been impeached twice. So they are gunning for something. They just want, like, it's not fair that you did it to our guy. But the thing is, they didn't impeach Trump just because he's Trump. They didn't even impeach fucking George W. Bush, dude. Like, they don't impeach people. I know it's really hard for Republicans to understand this. Democrats get on our nerves because they actually follow the rules. It's irritating. I wish sometimes they didn't, but they are such fucking nerdball rule sticklers that is what they do. So when they come with an impeachment, it's because they really think it's real, right? Like they're not just like, oh,
and if you recall, even then Pelosi, not quite kicking and screaming, but she really had to be like
convinced,
like, no, you need to present me like unassailable evidence that this is going to be successful, because I'm not doing this if it's going to fail,
right?
And they build a series. That's the only reason that I agree with you, that I don't think it'll even get to a vote in the House, because in order for that to happen, you need to have hearings.
That's right.
On the committees to show your evidence, and I don't think that they're going to find any evidence. And at that point, it's not even going to make it out of committee, because what the fuck do you have? And you're certainly not going to get any Democrats to vote for it. So even if you do get it,
absolutely not. Unless you find a smoking gun, which I don't think that you will.
Right. Right. So if this does somehow get to the House and Republicans decide to light themselves on fire, this would literally be the only completely partisan impeachment in U.S. history. Because if you recall, even both Trump impeachments had Republicans in the House that voted in favor of impeaching him both times, by the way. Like it wasn't just the second time where it was much more, there's a lot more Republican support. Like in the House, like there were Republicans that voted for the first impeachment as well.
Right. Yeah. Look, I think this is, again, I'm going with the Lewis Black perspective here. I think they're gonna shoot themselves in the face. Like I think the idea of scuttling this shit on a Friday afternoon when no one's paying attention and it's like, oh, well, just fucking slide it off the docket. We're just going to move on. And people are going to be like, hey, man, what happened to that thing? And it's like, look, Joe Biden decided to go to Alaska during 9/11. Like they will just fucking pivot to some other dumb shit.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing they want to do before the 20, because you got to remember, if all these inquiries, if this was a proper impeachment situation, this would be running for months. This would be running right into the election, right? Like we're not in the election, but like right through debates and all this stuff. We'd be really having a conversation about it, right? RFK Jr. is like rubbing his hands, like, oh, maybe they'll consider me. They won't. Right? ever. But like it would be a very serious thing. But what is likely going to happen is they're going to find nothing And the last thing they're going to want to do is come out and be like, we're going to have this big vote and it's not going to mean anything. And it possibly might lose in the House and it's definitely going to lose in the Senate. And it's going to be this thing. They're not. They're not. Look, there's a report now that Trump is, he spoke with Republicans about this and everything else. Sure. I'm sure that was totally above board, right? You got to get him back, forget me, right? Type of shit.
Well, that's what I was going to mention to you is that, funnily enough, like Republican leadership is in a truly unwinnable situation in this scenario because Trump wants them to impeach Biden, but he wants it to be successful. Like if you do an inquiry and don't hold the vote, or if you hold the vote and you fail, he's going to be pissed and he's going to be vocal about it. And he's not going to be mad at Democrats. He's going to be mad at you, yeah, Republicans. So. He's going to be mad at Kevin McCarthy and the other folks that were involved in making that happen.
Well,
so again, truly an untenable situation one way or the other. And that's why we're here, by the way, too, is because McCarthy, like this is only happening because McCarthy doesn't see any other way to do it because the MAGA idiots in the House are demanding that this happen. Otherwise, hey, we're going to hold up other votes that you need, like funding the government and things of that nature.
I like the idea that they're trying to Tommy Tuberville this thing internally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sure, man. Look, by all means. I think this is going to be, look, the word of the day, kids, is scuttle. Okay. They're going to fucking scuttle this shit because when they get into it and they don't have anything, look, unless they find something. And if they find something, they are well within their political right to make hay about it. And they should. Right? Like you find like just naked corruption. It's like, here's Joe Biden. Here's a picture of him taking a bribe from the fucking Ukrainians or something. That's great, man. Make a big deal about it. I will even support the idea of impeaching him if it rises to that position. I don't give a fuck about Joe Biden personally. Fuck him. Right? So I don't care. Like, what do I give a shit? If he's wrong, he's wrong. However, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, you don't got shit. Because if you had shit, you would have called it out way before now. You wouldn't be doing.
Oh, you would have found, we've said before on this show, when you run for president and like when you win your party's primary and you're actually like one of the two dudes going head to head, anything that's in your past, it will be found. Like there are people out there digging up dirt everywhere. So if there truly were corrupt dealings that Joe Biden engaged in while he was vice president, which by the way is what they would be impeaching him for. I would think, which is another question. Like, we're going to impeach the dude for stuff he did before he was the president. Like, okay, makes sense to me. But we'll get to that later in the story.
I mean, but that's what Republicans tried to do to Clinton, right? Whitewater was before.
Of course.
Right. Like, meanwhile, like Trump was impeached for things he did as president. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Like, no, it wasn't
100%.
Yeah. Like, so yeah, that idea of like retroactively going after somebody. Look, I'm not mad at you want to retroactively go after someone if it's a major corruption, right? Like, you know, campaign finance shit, like that's fine. But an impeachment should be for presidential like dealings, like 100%, mm-hmm. you know, full stop. So they don't have anything, Brad. They don't have any policies. They don't have anything.
I am aware. Yeah. I am aware. I will say, this was brought up on, I think it was brought up on Chris Hayes. Medi Hassan was filling in. And so Ken Buck, a notable like Freedom Caucus dude, mm-hmm. even went on MSNBC and was like,
that's a shock.
Yeah, that like there's no evidence to support this. Like this is a dude that you would think would be a surefire vote to advance this stuff. And even he's out there being like, I don't see it. like right now. Like I don't see that out there right now.
Now, look, again, if you have Trump also pushing you to do this, this is like you said, this is untenable. Best of luck, bro. Mm-hmm. I'm voting 100% scuttled on a Friday. 100%.
I think, I think you're right, because they have to present something to get this out of committee. And if it's not credible, because again, it's not like Democrats don't get to be there while they're doing it. Like they absolutely get to participate in these hearings and ask questions and stuff like that. So like, and they'll be the ones like going like it'll be the same shit that during the Trump impeachment, the first impeachment, where they literally go out of the committee room, right in front of a camera. Here's what we just talked about in there. We're gonna control the messaging.
Yep. Look, has there been a less effective Speaker of the House than Kevin McCarthy?
Oh, I'm sure there has, but you'd have to have a really vast knowledge of that. I will say that according to
God, he is so henpecked. Like it's
crazy. according to people that like keep track of this shit, this Congress, like this specific Congress, because of the House, is the least effective Congress in terms of advancing and passing legislation in at least the past 100 years.
I can believe it. I can absolutely believe it. But it's remarkable how this guy is getting pushed around, right? So that brings us to the second part of the story, which is Marjorie Taylor Greene wants people to know she is the reason. She is the tip of the idiot spear. She's the reason that Kevin McCarthy is moving forward with the Biden impeachment. She, you know, she's like, look, I'm the person, right? Like, Gates was trying to take credit. Like, they're having an idiot off. Gates and Marjorie Taylor Greene are kind of fighting because they're like, no, I'm the one about to screw my party really bad. No, it was me. I'm the idiot. They're like, no. If there's going to be an idiot here, I'm the top idiot, right? So yeah, they're actually literally fighting about being the person who pushed McCarthy into this. But
I like hers. I like her tweet. I like her comment the best, because she's saying that she literally introduced articles of impeachment on his first day in office. Now that's not even asking for an impeachment inquiry. She's like, I got the crimes right here. Let's fucking vote. Fucking vote on him. What do we didn't do any investigation, but I know what he did wrong.
Like, what inquiry? Like, there was a laptop. There's a dude. Like, let's fucking go. It's just really weird. Look, I have to imagine their entire argument is, but Hunter, though. Like, I think that's it, right? Like, they don't have anything else, right? Like, it's just Hunter Biden traded on his name. Hunter Biden. Mm-hmm. Here's a picture of Hunter Biden's dong for the 14th time. And that guy does drugs and sleeps with prostitutes. That's cool. Like, whatever. He should probably not be president. And I don't really understand what else you got. Like, I don't think they have much of anything.
Again, to me, this is like two people arguing. Like, I was behind the wheel when the Titanic crashed in the iceberg. No, I was behind the wheel when the Titanic crashed in the iceberg.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Like, what are you two doing? Like, Marjorie Taylor Greene really has this weird thing about wanting to put herself in these positions of power. They're always negative power, right? Like, cool, you're the number one person pushing, let's say, according to her, and that's probably largely correct, you're the number one person pushing Kevin McCarthy, but you're not pushing him forward. You're pushing this guy off a cliff. You're pushing the entire party off a cliff. Like, congratulations, you're fucking up.
So you I take your point. I will give her this. She has, in a very short amount of time, propelled herself to high positions of influence in that party.
I agree with that. Which
Stunning. Speaks worse on the party, honestly, than anything she's done, if I'm being quite frank.
Right. Like, what are you doing? Like, she's an idiot. Don't do that.
I mean, I personally still think that a part of this is because again, like the guy that's really pushing this is fucking Trump, because they want to cast this is also like a tremendous like smoke bomb that they're trying to throw to distract everybody from the 91 felony. By the way, we haven't talked about this on the show. I really enjoy when he says the word indicted, because he like has this really very specific pronunciation. He's like indicted, like he always says it like that. It tickles me every time I hear it, but anyway, that's beside the point. I think that she's So he's the one that wants this. So I think that this is her trying to, you know, drive that relationship with him. Mm-hmm. I still think she's making like a side, you know, side pocket play for vice president. Cause there's an awful lot of, awful lot of Vivek Ramaswamy talk out there now about he's running for VP. She's like, I can't let that Indian motherfucker steal all my bad press.
Yeah. No.
Like, we're going to get in there.
I'm the big dumb dumb. Like, I'm the one who should be trying to fuck this up for him. There's only one major reason why Trump wouldn't pick Marjorie Taylor Greene to be his VP. It's Sarah Palin. Because I think that in a way, it mirrors John McCain, Sarah Palin, right? Where McCain was I don't want to be like a dick about it, but like a dwindling figure in politics. Like, he was. And it was weird that he got the nomination anyway. Considering he did not vibe with his own party for big swaths.
Who was the projected next guy out for them? I don't even remember.
I don't know. Was it wouldn't have been Romney. Because Romney got
not that early. Twice. Not that early.
Weird. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it was Newt Gingrich, actually.
Was it
or Jeb? Could have been.
It's probably
Jeb. I think Jeb might. Yeah. Either, but I think Newt Gingrich also had like a half a shot to get in there, which would have been hilarious.
Good President God. Ugh, that guy fucking sucks. It's not just his name. But like, I think that Trump would be afraid that she'd overshadow him. Like, he never had that fear with Mike Pence. But at the same time, he may need someone who is energetic and just as beloved in MAGA to drive out. Like, she would drive like that fucking crazy kind of Nazi.
I don't think he's going to have a problem getting those guys out. I think those are the people that he doesn't have to worry about is his most ardent supporters, regardless of who's on the ticket with him.
So who's he missing then? Who's he missing? Right,
he's missing the Mike Pence. Ironically, like, he's missing the guy that can get the normie Republicans to swallow their pride and to hold their nose and to get him on board. I think you're right. I think all things being equal, with the people that are out there now, I think his best choice for vice president is probably Nikki Haley.
Yep.
Out of who's available right now?
Mm-hmm. He won't choose her, though. Because he's already dogged her the fuck out. She's already dogging him out in the race. She's one of the few who's like, nah, yo, this guy kind of sucks. I mean, even though, like, I couldn't wait to join his fucking team and hold water for him for 4 years. But, like, or 2.5 years or whatever she was in that role. I think Nikki Haley would probably be the best choice. She seems the most reasonable, even though she's not a reasonable person at all. But she's the most reasonable, so he won't pick her. Now, he don't pick.
But I don't think she ever, like, even though she was in his administration the entire time, I don't think that she ever has crossed that Rubicon to, like, MAGA Republicanism.
No,
you know what I mean? Absolutely. I think she's still seen by most on the right as like a normal ass Republican, and I think that's what he needs, because that's what you need to bring the people out. Who you need to win the election, like the swing voters and moderate Republicans and even moderate Democrats to roll the dice on you and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It'll be interesting to see who he picks.
Yeah, picking someone as insane as him is the exact opposite of what he needs. Like that'll drive more people away. It's like, hey. We have crazy psychopath at the top of the ticket and, oh, stupid, crazy psychopath on the bottom of the ticket as well. Well, wait to double down on fucking morons that I don't want to see anywhere near the levers of power. Congratulations.
Yeah. Look, the fact that you're saying that, Brad, is the most reasonable, logical thing I've ever heard. That's how I know he won't do it. That's how I know he won't do it. Dude, he's not coming back. He's not coming back for part two on some fucking like reasonable shit. He's going balls to the wall. He's gonna wanna make sure that the crazies aren't just riled up, but the crazies are so riled up that they would never, ever miss an opportunity to come out and vote for him. And I think somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, not Carrie Lake. She seems too desperate. Like, I guarantee you, Trump is like, yeah, yuck. Like, she's just too desperate. She called him a 9/11 hero. It was like, all right, like, even Trump's not buying it. He's like, I mean, I'm not.
She called Trump a 9/11 hero?
Yes, she did, in fact.
How? For going on Howard Stern, like, and talking about what he saw?
Yeah. Okay. Saying that he is now the tallest building in New York, right? Like, yeah, you know, a hero. It's what a hero would do. So, like, it's – I think he's going to go crazy. I think he's going to pick a crazy person. But my guess is the only reason you wouldn't pick Marjorie Taylor Greene is just because you're afraid she might overshadow you. But he might pick somebody like a Tommy Tuberville or, you know, seemingly less openly crazy but definitely fucking crazy. He's not picking Tim Scott. Too urban.
No.
It might not be somebody that's on that, like, on the people running right now at all. It may not be any of those people, but yeah,
I think that's possible. Like he of anyone, he is the one to come up with a fucking, you know, crazy banana wild card pick out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Don Jr. Like if he picked one of his kids, I wouldn't even be shocked. Well, like, that makes all the sense in the world.
I mean his whole presidency was cribbing plot lines from House of Cards anyway, so like that would just be on brand, basically.
Fucking like, it's Jared. Everyone loves Jared. Like, oh great. That guy, the fucking charisma vacuum. Like, can't wait to hear from him. So yeah, we'll see. Yeah, so Marjorie Taylor Greene. Just want to let everybody know how much she sucks. All right, next up, Brad, you got the story.
I did. So we've been talking about how some of the folks that you know, are of the 19 people being charged in Georgia alongside Donald Trump are making moves to finagle their cases. You know, Sidney Powell and Kenneth Cheesebro. By the way, I found out that his last name is pronounced Chesbro, actually. But Cheesebro is too funny to not use. So we're going to continue with it. Both filed motions to sever their cases. And the judge told them to go kick rocks. I think we talked about that last week. Yes. Mark Meadows also had his motion to move his case to federal court. And that motion was knocked down by the federal court judge as well, by saying that, hey, like, you may argue that you were doing your duties as chief of staff, and that makes it a federal case. But in what you were doing in calling these Georgia election officials and stuff like that, you were working as a member of the Trump campaign, which is not in your purview of duties as Secretary of State. And therefore, you will not get your case moved. And I found that reasoning interesting. Yep. Because that is also an incredibly devastating ruling for anybody else that tries to move their case to federal court. Because if the predicate has now been set where, hey, like, when you were doing this stuff, you weren't acting as, you know, Donald Trump, the president, you were acting as Donald Trump, the candidate, and Donald Trump, the candidate, doesn't have federal protections to, you know, to say like, hey, we're going to move this case to federal court and possibly look at it being as under your, you know, your purview as a federal official. And I think that's a huge move and should terrify the John Eastmans and, you know, the Kenneth Chesbro or Cheesebros and all the other folks that were actually in the administration that were part of this deal that might have tried the same strategy, because that kind of puts the kibosh on making that move potentially.
Yeah. No, look, they're in a world of trouble, man. One thing that has been very obvious is that so far they have had no legal wins. None. Like, every single avenue they've tried, the judge in Georgia has been like, I don't fucking think so. Like, take it easy. No, sit down. We're not rushing. Like, I think it was Chesbro who's like, I want a speedy trial. And they were like, all right, cool. Like right now? And he's like, hold on a second. I was just fucking around, guys. Chesbro out. Like they are terrified because they are so fucking used to running roughshod over the Justice Department, over judges being really flexible to their bullshit logic. And now they've run into a situation where it's like, no, No, you did a major fucking crime, my guy. You're going to sit here and we're going to talk about it. And they're like, I don't want to talk about it. This is hard. I hate it here. And it's like, good. Yeah. Welcome to reality. And this is what they deserve.
Right.
This is exactly what they
deserve. Well, and what's funny is, so like Meadows is appealing this decision, right? And people say it, you know, it seems likely that at some point SCOTUS is going to have to weigh in on it. And you might say, oh, that's, you know, that's terrifying. Like the Republican SCOTUS is going to bend over backwards. Not so fast, because again, like this is, if they weigh in on it, I personally don't think they're going to hear it. I think that they'll just defer to the lower court ruling and not even have it in front of them.
I don't think they're going to touch this anytime soon.
Oh, no. Because again, their ruling on it would have one of two things. Either you firmly say, hey, when you're acting, like they firmly firm up that lower court ruling and make it a national directive across the entire federal government. We're like, hey, if you're operating as your campaign, like you don't have these protections, which would be hugely damaging to Republicans in general, I think. Or the opposite comes where it's like, hey, like as long as you're in government, whatever you do on your campaign is cool. Which again, like, you sure you want to just roll that red carpet out for everybody right now and let the Biden campaign potentially, you know,
do crimes,
get into some nonsense if they wanted to, because they're like, well, you know, it's in my job as being, you know, a federal official, so you can't do anything to me legally for it.
Right. Yeah. Look, it's, again, we're in a no-win situation, or excuse me, they're in a no-win situation. But you know, you like it, I love it. Like, this is what you guys wanted. You guys wanted to take this into a court of law. And again, this is the entire situation of internet Republicanism meeting reality. Like, your bullshit arguments on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram or whatever, they don't work when you have to put this shit up against an actual lawyer. Like, a prime example is this week, or actually maybe it was like yesterday, someone commented on our episode last week saying that, no, Trump can't be disqualified because of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, because he was already impeached for January 6th, and he was cleared of that. So he is immune to Amendment 4, the 14th Amendment, Section 3. And I just respond. I was like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. I didn't try to be like that much of a dick about it, but like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, a failed impeachment is a political issue. The 14th Amendment is referring to a legality issue. Like,
yeah,
the legal precedent, or the summation of a criminal trial those are wildly different implications than someone who is impeached. Like,
impeachment is a political mechanism. Impeachment literally exists because you can't criminally try, or at least the Justice Department won't criminally try a sitting president. That's literally why, or a federal official. That's why impeachment literally is there.
Right. This is from the same party, and I don't know if this person's a Republican, but if I had to,
if it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck.
Yeah, it probably thinks vaccines are fake, right? But like, you're making the wrong argument. Like, these are two wildly different. You're conflating two wildly different things. If the 14th Amendment says that this person cannot have engaged in an insurrection, and the political argument is, oh, well, we didn't try him, or like we tried, but we couldn't get the votes for whether or not he should be removed from office for the insurrection, is not the same as saying he didn't do it. That's not the same. Mm-hmm. Republicans could literally go on television and be like, oh no, it was definitely an insurrection. He definitely did it, and then go and vote to clear him and say, well, we don't want to have him.
They kind of did do that, if you recall. Like Mitch McConnell was out there like, yeah, this is all Trump's fault. And they're like, oh, so you're going to vote to remove him, right? And he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. But it was definitely his fault.
Yeah. Like, so if that's the case, if you can knowingly say that this person is guilty and vote the opposite, that is not a legally binding thing. However, Jack Smith's case on January 6th is legally binding. And if he finds him guilty, which was the entire point of the clip that I put out, if he finds him guilty, or if he is found guilty in that case through evidence through Jack Smith and God knows everyone else who was fucking had their eyes open on January 6th, if he is found guilty, then they have definitive legal, strong legal argument. This guy was, in fact, found guilty for an insurrection. There is no argument that he was not, right? So it's this very weird not understanding what politics is versus what legality is. They're not the same thing. Look, I say that I haven't said it in a long time, but it bears repeating now. There is reality and there is political reality. Those are two, they generally do not overlap consistently. They don't. Hey, why don't we just do X? We could do X, but what about what happens when you do X because of Y? Well, but the reality is this is what you should do. Yes, but then there's also political reality, right? Like, you should be able to point out that your opponent does all these terrible things. That's reality, right? Potentially that's reality. But political reality is when you do that, somehow you get hurt for pointing it out. Like, those are two wildly different scenarios, but they do in fact exist. They can, two things can exist at the same time. So yeah, like, you got to understand political reality and actual reality here. And so, look, these guys have been so deeply steeped in political reality of we're just going to try to move the fucking goalpost constantly, 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 that now they're running up against actual reality, which is in the legal system. And that's why you're seeing them lose. That's why I've never been a fan of the sort of dour, nothing's going to happen to Trump thing. Because you keep focusing on what is political reality. And it has not been until really now that we have gotten to actual reality. Because in a court of law, it is very different than a couple of fucking tweets. It is.
Well, and I would also, I mean, to be fair to those people who, you know, the ah, well, nevertheless people who like to bust out that tweet all the time. Trump has faced the legal system in actual reality, but he's never had an opponent on a level playing field against that is like he's never been involved in criminal court. He's always been involved in civil trials where he's able to outspend his opposition or spend them into the ground or delay them into the ground or, you know, what have you. This is the first time that he's ever been in the criminal justice system where, in reality, it's not this way, but it's supposed to be a level playing field where all men, you know, like, have an equal chance to face justice under the law. Obviously, we know it doesn't work that way, but he can't spend himself out of this scenario. No. Like he can't just beat, he can't beat his opponents into submission by delaying and by stringing things along. Like, he doesn't have that control.
Yeah. He has to actually fight. Yeah. And he has to bring real evidence and he has to try to win and not just bully his way in. And look, that goes for all the other 18 co-defendants. Like, you don't get to just bullshit your way through this, John Eastman. Like, you can't. Sidney Powell, you can't. You better fucking bring some fucking evidence, man, because you are in a world of trouble. There is no one coming to save you. The big guy that you have behind you that used to be able to sway political reality in your favor, he's just as fucked, if not more, than you are. So he doesn't have the energy or the legal expenses or just the energy to come and save you too. He is only focused on saving himself. So
and to that point, like all these people were, remember where Trump was like, oh, he's like, fight for me and I'll cover the legal fees and instead of the other thing. Like, his co-defendants are literally calling him out and are like, he's not paying for shit right now. Yeah. It's like, no duh. Like, I don't understand why you thought that was ever going to happen. Like, have you seen his history?
Dude, hold on. I saw a tweet today. It might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen someone say.
I know Jenna Ellis specifically went out and was like he said he was going to cover all these legal fees and he hasn't covered anything yet. And like I need him to help. Like, I can't afford mounting this defense, like, it's costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm just like,
well, sweetheart,
bro, like, he's fundraising for himself, and this could pretend like he's fundraising for himself so bad, like, he's taking PAC money, which is supposed to be used for his campaign, other Republican campaigns, and he's like, I needed to pay my legal fees.
They're roasting me out there, baby. Right. I need that money. So this is a tweet. I don't know who this person is, but they're dumb is the word I'm looking for. This is a real tweet, by the way. Like, I couldn't, I thought this was going to be like the Arrested Development meme. And you'll know which one I mean when I read this. quote, George W. Bush was a terrible president. Yes, I voted for him because I was convinced he was, quote, a good guy. But what I know about the Bush family, I cannot believe I was fooled like so many others. I trust no one as a leader now, except for one man, President Trump. What are you doing?
But Jay, it's not a call.
Dude, it's the Arrested Development meme, man. It's the Arrested Development meme. Some people are so convinced that they think that, you know, these bad things that keep happening won't happen to them.
Yeah, but it doesn't work almost ever. Yeah. But it could work.
But it could work for us. Like, Jesus Christ! Look, George W.
That's
Bush.
Insane. That's insane to me.
Yeah, it's just purely insane, right? Of course, they pay $8 a month for Twitter. But. Like, George W. Bush is a lot of things. A scumbag, a terrible president, you know, a murderer, you know, like, tons and tons of things, right? But, like, you got duped by the good guy, good Christian, whatever. I get even as a Republican being duped by that, right? Because, like, that guy, I think, is legitimately, like, super religious and everything. I don't even think that's that much of a duping, right? I think you got duped into thinking he was smart, which I'm like, did you hear him talk? Like, that's crazy. but, like, to not see a grift like Trump, like, to say, I can't believe how much I was getting bamboozled by the Bush family. And I'm like, but you don't see it with Trump, which is way more obvious. Like, way more obvious. This guy has been bankrupted tons of times. Like, he can't run a business for shit. Like, this stuff is all public knowledge. And they're just like, I hear Trump vodka was really good. Like, all right, man. Like, sign up, I guess. Like, god damn. But it's amazing. It's amazing.
Those are stupid. I will go to my grave never understanding what the allure is. Like, what do they see in this braggadocious fucking, like weak, loud, insecure, brain addled, things. He is. Think of all the things that you see when you hear him talk. And just like, I can't understand how I can experience him in one way, and there are tens of millions of people in this country who just hear and see something completely different. And it doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter how contradictory or hypocritical he is. Like what was it? There was a Jordan Kepler or Jordan Klepper when he was hosting The Daily Show. He did like an after the show thing with an audience, and it made it out on Twitter or on social media. And I remember he was, you know, they were talking about like, what's the craziest thing you've heard when you're doing these on the street interviews that he does all the time, these Trump rallies and shit like that. And he talked about this woman who I can't remember exactly what it was about, right? But it was basically about like trying to, you know, cover up, you know, wrongdoings in office. And so I think it was related to the Ukraine call specifically and withholding aid and this other thing. And she's like, yeah, she's like, you he's like, if we have a president who like does these specific things, like, she's like, no, she's like, we can't have that, like, that, you know, that would ruin this country, like, you know, completely corrupt. And you know, I couldn't support anything like that. And then he literally points out to her, he's like, well, Trump did all of these things that I just mentioned. And her literal response was like, I don't care. like she literally turned around like in that next moment. And his point was, we can debate politics as like, we can debate the idea of politics. Like you have your ideas, I have my ideas. We don't agree. We hash them out. We come to, you know, an understanding or whatever. Like, we, but you can have a debate on an idea and you could change someone's mind on an idea. When politics becomes who you are, when who you follow and the things that you believe become literally your personality and become everything about you, you can't change. Like, you can't argue against that. Like, that's just who someone is. And I just don't understand how this guy, of all the fucking politicians there's ever been, of all the talented people that have come through on the Republican side of politics. Like, George Bush was an idiot, but he was a talented politician.
He was.
Like, I don't think you can deny that. Reagan was a super talented politician. Yep. Like, he fucking ruined a lot of shit. But yeah, of all the people right, but of all the people that have come through, like, on the Republican side of politics, this guy is the guy that somehow manages to, like, secure the undying loyalty of all these people and, like, the undying support of all these fucking people. And I'm just like, how? Like I like you. it breaks my brain to wrap my head around it. I do not understand.
Look, let me step in and tell you. It's very easy. White people feel like they are losing. And he is a white grievance politician. He is. He is the perfect choice for he is literally standing in the middle of a country that is at a precipice, right? Where you have people who are like, hey man, this country is supposed to be X, Y, and Z. We were promised the fucking American dream, and it was going to be streets paved in gold and futuristic, and like, it's all the best things in the world, right? And then, like, you have people who are like, we need to make this country better. It doesn't have to be perfect, but there are things that we need to do to better this country. And then there are other people who hear that and go, this country is already fine. We don't need to change anything. There is something wrong with you. There's not anything wrong with us, right? Like, they take the country as, like, being themselves, right? And they have a grievance. They have, like, it is a white grievance party. People don't, in that party, generally, do not want to see the world move forward. They are conservative. By the very definition, they want to keep things as they were. He is the and it's a tumultuous time, right? Like, women's lib is at an, like, it hasn't been at this type of high since, you know, the 1960s, right? You know,
I will give you that is that we I will agree that we probably had more early like a greater concentration of societal progression in the last 15 years. So that definitely could contribute to that.
Right. And I think it is not so much him, but he is a great representation of that, right? Like, he's literally a relic from the 1980s, right? The fucking Reagan greed era, the fucking gold hair and a gold, like, who shits on a golden toilet? That's fucking weird, dude. Like, that's weird. Like, there's an adult man who's incredibly rich. So he says, incredibly rich, but he still lives in this, like, weird American psycho Patrick Bateman sort of fucking mentality, right? Of like, you gotta have this suit and that, like, all of that shit. Where rich people don't even act like that anymore, right? Like, he's a relic of the 1980s. Even old people his age who are rich don't act like, Warren Buffett doesn't act like that. What the fuck? Like, that's just crazy. So he is a weird relic of the lifestyles of the rich and famous and all that other shit. At the same time, the people who look up to him, or the people who are in the party that he's in, is really what it is. They are destitute. They have less money, less spending power. They have rampant disease and obesity, and they aren't taken seriously. They're kind of seen as the laughing stocks of this country. They're literally being pushed down as they see it. I'm not saying that they are, but they're literally being pushed down as they see it. By the way, they are being pushed down. It's not by us. It's by corporations. Yeah,
it's by their own party.
Right. It's by their own party, and it's their corporations, right? So they're underfed. right? These are the same people arguing like kids shouldn't get fucking free lunch, right? Like their kids are underfed. Their wages are underwater. They don't know what else to do. Their party is not offering them anything except for those people over there seem to be having a little too much fun. And those people over there having all that fun and progressing and doing shit that you don't understand or don't like, those are your enemy. And he stands there as this relic of a time where shit was awesome, where America was fucking cool and had giant boats and all this other dumb shit. Even though they never had it, they could pretend to be a part of that. He stands there and goes, I'm standing in the way of this quote unquote liberal progress as a relic of the past. Come to me and we can go back to that time. Literally make America great again. That's why it works, right? That's why it works. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. Look, these poor motherfuckers in the Midwest were rocking fucking golden toilets and shit in 1985. Of course not. But they felt like if we could go back to a time that was simpler, right? Like, here's a weird analogy that for me that makes sense. I was really good at video games up until like 1995, right? Like what year did I'll be honest with you. What year did like Nintendo 64 come out?
Around that time, 95, 96.
Boom. That was the end for me. So somebody came out and they were like, "Hey man, we have platformers that are 2D. Like there's been a couple of them that have come out. I'm all about it." I'm like, "That's a relic of the past. That's what I understand, man. That's what I understand. I don't want to play those other games. They confuse me and I'm scared." Like I don't get it. Too many puzzles, right? So like for them, that's where they are. They're terrified. And that is why when he came out and was like, coming down the elevator, I am who you recognize. I am a rich person who you recognize. You don't need, look, you may be cool with him, but you don't recognize these rich assholes. This guy's driving an electric car. He's not like us. Remember us? Like we used to be fucking cool. I don't even like the new light bulbs, right? Like it is just grievance shit. And because of that, Republicans can fucking they can envelop themselves in this dream world. They can. They can literally envelop themselves in a dream world, which is why they're like, let's not go, you know, voting doesn't work, or don't worry about the pandemic. It's too confusing. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to worry about the earth. I don't want to do any of that. I just want to turn on the television and watch my hero yell about fucking toilets. That's it. Like, it's just because he is a grievance candidate at a time that poor white people especially need somebody who speaks to them. That's what
I know the comparison that I'm going to make to this. And I think you're right. I think that you make excellent points. This is how prosperity gospel preachers make their money.
That's exactly
essentially.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. So
he's exactly that. He's exactly
yeah. He's praying on the poorest, praying on the most needy that basically selling hope in you know, but for an incredibly costly amount of money. So
yeah. I mean,
a lot of Venn diagram overlap there too with prosperity gospel folks and Trump folks. I would imagine
two overlapping circles. Right? But look, there's a part of me, there's a lot of me that doesn't empathize with it, but I get it, right? Like I don't agree with it, but I get it. I get why it works, right? I get why conservatives, like, I don't know that fucking white dude's name, or the guy with the like red beard is like screaming at a guitar or whatever. Ah, fucking people above Richmond are fucking the worst, whatever. Like I get why people attach to that song, right? And they were just like, this is fucking speaking to me. Like, I get it. This guy, like, the fucking people in the north are the worst, and down here we're suffering. But you're not suffering because some fucking liberal person in New York, dude. Fucking liberals in New York are suffering, dude. They're like, shit is expensive. How the fuck can we afford groceries? You're not suffering because of them. You're suffering because you are ceding your power to people who will take advantage of you and who have continued to take advantage of you, ironically, well before the 80s, but especially since the 80s. They have. Mm-hmm. If you look at all of the people that these guys attach themselves to, they are relics. They are relics. They are relics of a bygone age because they don't have anything. We talked about the Electoral College last week. Republicans don't have any policies. That's why they're like, oh, please keep the Electoral College a relic, right? Like they need that. But more importantly, when you talk about like what their thought leaders and stuff like that, they're all relics. I don't care if they're young or not. They're relics. Their arguments are relics, right? What, like, literally listen to what Candace Owens said. We talked about last week where she's like, oh, Eminem is stopping Vivek from using his song on the campaign trail. What's her response? It's a relic response. It's a little gay, isn't it? That's a relic response. It's 2023. You're calling this dude gay for protecting his intellectual property? Like, what are you talking about? What if a Democrat was like, I'm going to go around singing Ted Nugent songs? I bet Ted Nugent would be like, do not do that. I don't fucking agree with you. Right? You wouldn't call Ted Nugent gay, right? I'd say he's a draft dodging pants shitter, but like those are facts, right? Like, those are facts. Like he did do that. Also a pedophile. Those are facts, right? Like those are facts. I don't have to make it up. So like it's because it's a grievance party and they don't have anything. They don't have any policies. They don't have anything to offer these people. And look, I don't have anything to offer these people either. Like, I'm not be like, Democrats are the party you should go with. You should. You should probably invest in unions and shit like that. But you don't want that. You don't want that. So, look, it's fine. Do that. Listen to the guy screaming into the guitar and all that. By the way, like, that guy apparently was like, I'm actually not, like, all that, like, crazy conservative. And they were just like, too late. Fuck that guy. And it's like, all right, well, you're crazy.
Yeah, he was trying to say, actually, this song is about, like, elites of all stripes. Like, it's not like a Republican against Democrat song. He's like, it's like, I don't like any rich people.
Right.
If you're like, no, we've already pigeonholed the song.
You should have like really done better messaging on that. Like, no, nah, Republicans were like, this guy fucking gets it. And then Democrats were like, fuck this guy forever. So it's like, sorry, dude. Like, look, I don't know what your policies are personally, but like, stop making music at this point. Or just make music for conservatives. But like at the end of the day, white people are terrified. They're scared.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And I can understand. Like I can understand.
They don't know what the future holds and they're scared.
I guess logically I can understand like, see, you know, feeling the culture of the place that you live, like literally shifting away from you. But again, like logically, it's hard for me to wrap my heads around that because again, I approach everything logically. Like to me, like if the culture's shifting, like I'm not going to just dig my heels in and be like, well, no, I'm staying right here and fuck you. Like I'm pulling you back towards me. Like, no, I'm gonna fucking go with the flow and try to figure out why, you know, what Riz means and
right, like yeah. Like, random words, right? Good God,
right?
Like, so yeah, it's. But that is the fundamental difference between liberals and conservatives. Conservatives, look, you need conservatives in society, right? Like, I hate when people are like, we don't need them. Like, no, you need them. Because sometimes we move too fast. Sometimes you need to be like, whoa, okay, hold on. Like, are we knocking down every old house in the country? Or like, maybe we should.
Like, yeah. Like it's, you know, we make fun of the House Senate metaphor that's been used from time eternal, but like that's kind of what conservatives can be or are supposed to be, right? To progressives, like they're supposed to be like the cold, you know, dump a little cold water, like just slow your roll a little bit, like let's think this through, let's you know, like and that's how it used to be, like you know, back when Democrats fucking bossed both houses of Congress for 50 years in a row, right?
Yeah, and had the best progress,
you know,
this country,
you know, that's how it worked.
Right. And they had the best progress this country's ever seen. So, like, it's – those things are fine, right? Like, there needs to be a balance of those things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, look, people hate Nancy Pelosi for saying that at one point. She was like, we need a good conservative party. And they're like, no, we don't. No, but what you don't understand is, yeah, you do. Like, you actually do. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. What you don't need is an opposition party. Like, that's what you don't need. And that's what Republicans have become because they don't have any fucking policies. They don't have anything. And they're only appealing to people who are afraid. And what they've never done, because they've gotten to a point where Democrats say, hey, man, why don't we give everybody healthcare? Instead, they go, no healthcare. Like, okay, that's not really an answer. Like, people are dying in the streets here. Instead, what you should say is, okay, you guys want to do universal health care. We kind of do want to do that too, but let's figure out a way to like make sure what you should be doing as a party. Like what I'd love to see the Republican Party become is you could be the voice for the Midwest and the South who want to have these things considered and be like, hey man, I feel like we're not considering the little guy. Like if you try to be the party of the little guy, it's like, all right, big corporate interests and like these big swinging projects and big infrastructure projects. Cool. But are we making sure that like these big new infrastructure projects aren't tearing up old neighborhoods and displacing people? Are we sure about that? And if we have to displace them, how are we, you know, working to help them? That's what it should be. That's what a conservative party should be. But instead, it's how much dick of corporations can I suck to make sure that I get paid? That's not what a conservative party actually should be. And like the liberal party, which Democrats are not necessarily that either, a fully realized version of that, should be, we need to make sure that we're giving everybody the most opportunity, the most, you know, progressive sort of ideas and everything else. Let's make sure we have the best healthcare in the world. Let's make sure everybody has access to the internet. Like those are the kind of things. And then the conservative party is like, that's cool, but let's make sure we're not fucking over the little guy, but let's slow down a little bit and see. But that's not the two parties you have. If you had those two parties, mm-hmm. and at one time you did sort of kind of have that a little bit, if you have that, that's when you can make progress. Because everyone is progressing together. You can just be like, let's just make sure we're not like fucking people over here. Like, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is now it is, what's your idea? Cool. I don't even understand that. I'm picking the opposite. I'm picking the opposite. Like, mm-hmm. oh, you want to give kids food? Fuck those kids. Like, but why? Like, I don't know. Like, that's my job. Like, that's not your job. So why do they give fealty and they love Trump so much? It's because he's a relic and he speaks to their fear. That's it. That's it. There's a very long rant to say that, but like, that's all it is. They're terrified. White people are terrified of losing the country. They just are. And it's sad. I mean, we got, because like, you guys are fucking it up like real bad because you're sad. Real bad.
I will once again say we stand alone in political podcasts. We are the only political podcast that you will hear this week that pivots from Mark Meadows lost his appeal, lost his appeal to move to federal court. It's a, here's why conservatives bowed the altar to Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I,
you're welcome. Right. You're welcome.
And look, and if I had the time and I don't have it, unfortunately, I would have played that lovely clip. And I'm not even that big of a fan of this guy, but that lovely clip this past week of Kyle Kulinski fucking just dropping an elbow for a minute on Breonna Joy Gray and embarrassing her ass.
About stunning her into silence. Silence.
And her fans were like, oh, he just got very emotional. Like, yeah, that's when you don't have an argument. Like that's, yeah, you're trying to go after the guy on some bullshit.
Like, yeah, she literally looked at the camera to be like, what the fuck? like, what do I do?
And after that, she just immediately pivots to, but Joe Biden didn't get rid of all student loan debt. Okay, cool. Great argument. Cool. Great argument. We're on the precipice of having a fucking Nazi president, but I hope that you make sure that you make your bullshit argument on your fucking Peter Thiel podcast. Get the fuck out of here. That woman is a joke. If you listen to that woman seriously, you are being railroaded. Please stop. Good Lord. All right, Wisconsin GOP are going to try and impeach a state Supreme Court justice before she hears a single case. This is a wild story. Go ahead.
So, yeah. So to give the background for the story, so you all might recall that a couple months ago, there was a special election in Wisconsin for a vacant state Supreme Court seat that literally would determine control of the court. The court was tied 3-3. Whoever won this election would flip balance of the court. And the Democrat in the election, who was Janet Pernasewicz, won by like 11 points. Like she won the election definitively.
Yes.
And I remember the Republican candidate had like the most combative concession speech of all time and stuff like that. Yeah. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah. I would concede, but I did not have a competition in this fight or some shit like that.
Right. Like, a worthy opponent or whatever. You lost by 11 points. Yeah. Shut the fuck up and go away. Go sit down. So Wisconsin also is one of the most gerrymandered states in the entire country. They have a Democratic governor, but they have a state legislative Republican supermajority in the state of Wisconsin. So despite the fact that I think in the last election, I want to say somewhere in the ballpark of like 53% of Wisconsinites voted Democrat.
Yeah,
the Republicans somehow have a 64-35 majority in the state assembly and a 22-11, a 2/3 majority in both houses of Congress.
Yeah,
basically, which is in fucking sane. One of the big things that figures to get in front of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court over the next couple of years is map drawing and redistricting in Wisconsin. And Republicans are terrified that this now Democratic State Supreme Court is going to vote down any of their horribly gerrymandered maps that they bring forward. So much so that Republicans are now moving forward to impeach Janet Protasiewicz, who was just elected to the state Supreme Court a matter of months ago, before she has even heard a single case, unless she voluntarily withdraws from any case that is that involves redistricting.
These people, this is like fucking insane. Again, yeah.
According to Brianna Joy,
is that both parties are pretty much the same. Yo, I'm convinced these people don't even like they don't even pay attention to politics.
The predicate for them is they're saying that she needs to be impeached because the comments that she made while campaigning about Wisconsin gerrymandering are disqualifying from her being able to hold the Supreme Court seat. This part I said it to you and Andy. This party gets identical. Up in the morning to undermine the will of the people. Like it is what gets their dicks hard when they wake up in the morning is to undermine 100%. The will of voters everywhere.
100%. Like there is no argument for that. Well, I mean, why don't we get rid of her? Why? Again. Why are you getting rid of her? It's devastating to our case. Like, that's it, dude. That's it. You're getting rid of her solely so that she does not potentially knock down your gerrymandered maps. And by the way, all she said was, like, they were like, hey, do you think that the maps are, like, you know, unfairly drawn? She was like, yeah, like, I think they're a little, like, it's a little odd. Like, basically, like, I don't think they're, like, the most fair. Okay, someone asked her that. That's not illegal to respond to that. By the way, they are incredibly gerrymandered. They are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the fuck? Isn't that clear?
By their own admission, because the state the assembly speaker testified in 2021 that yes, like here's his quote: "Was partisanship considered as a consideration in the map?" Yes, they don't deny it. Like it's not like they're up here being like, nah, like that's not all what we're doing. Like, no, they're like, yeah, absolutely. Like we're trying to make sure that we have a disproportionate amount of seats, despite the fact that this is not representative at all of how our electorate is divided.
Yeah, look, I would not recuse myself and I would be like, bring it on. You wanna try to impeach me? Bring it on.
Yeah.
Just bring it on. Like, fuck that. And I'd make a huge hay of that shit. Bring it on. You think that this is acceptable to just, again, you guys don't believe in democracy. Like you just don't believe in it. It's like the weird thing is it's not even a question at this point. You don't believe in democracy. I wish you'd just come out and say it instead of all the like, oh no, we love democracy. You don't. What you love is control and power. And I get it. I'm just saying like, it's nonsense. And this is a prime example that you want to impeach a judge who hasn't even like they haven't ruled on a case where you're like, well, that was just unacceptable. And she like, you know, voted, to, you know, throw 50 kids in jail or something like this is unacceptable. We got to
right.
No, she's done anything. You just don't like the fact that you're potentially and most likely going to lose your incredibly gerrymandered state. because you yes. cannot win on policy, which is our big argument. If you can't win on policy, what are you running for?
Yep.
What are you running for? If you can't
again, win it's, on policy, it's, what are you and again, for? It's an, I will never understand how the state is that balanced across parties, and like you can justify having a two-thirds majority in your maps with a straight face. Like I don't understand like how you can look at voters and be like, yeah, this is fine. Like this makes complete sense. North Carolina is the same way. Like North Carolina is same issue where it's basically a purple state, but Republicans have great control in the state legislature because again, it's gerrymandered as fuck.
Yeah.
So
Wisconsin is the same way, I believe. Right. So yeah. You know, like it's amazing. Wow, is that thunder?
Yeah. Good. That's thunder. Yeah. So listeners, if I cut out and Jay has to end this podcast, we take it home abruptly on his own, it's because my power went out because there's a massive thunderstorm going on right now. So just a fair warning on that. But we only have one more story left, so you know, we might park this ship.
I don't know, man. It sounded a little rough over there. Good lord. Poor Brad, he's not gonna make it. Maybe it's not thunder, Brad. Maybe it's one of those Starlink satellites crashing into another one.
It's true.
Elizabeth Warren hears
us recording. He's like, no. He's like, I know what they're about to talk about. I'm not going to let them do it.
Down that satellite. Just down it. Like, send it to Senator Elizabeth Warren, my homegirl, demands probe of Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, his SpaceX after the Ukraine revelations. So here's what this is all about. Elon Musk owns something called Starlink. Starlink is mm-hmm. a series of satellites that is surrounding the globe that provides internet access, right? It's actually very cool. Like the technology behind it is actually pretty neat. The problem is the Starlink setup is used heavily in Ukraine. And mm-hmm. during the war, in these last number of weeks, Musk has.
Oh no! This was back in October, apparently.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The last couple months.
So,
apparently, Musk spoke with Vladimir Putin, and just after he admits this, and then denied it, of course. Just after speaking with Vladimir Putin and people in the Kremlin, he turned off. Didn't like send a mm-hmm. crush or anything like he's doing at Brad's house, obviously. But he turned off the Starlink satellites over Ukraine so that the Ukrainian mm-hmm. army who was using it, using the internet, to, you know, check maneuvers or communicate or what have you against the Russian army so that they could not do that. And so that Russia would have more of an advantage. But if you read Twitter, They are saying Elon Musk helped prevent World War III.
Really? That's what they're going to? There's a quote, and I think – so there's a biography of him coming out, I think, this week written by Walter Isaacson, who also did, like, the really good Steve Jobs biography that I liked a lot, where Elon Musk, like, literally said, like he was looking at Starlink data, and he's like, I could literally see, like, the war – playing out in front of me because he could see like based on like where, you know, pings were happening and stuff like that.
Right.
And he literally sees it happening and decides, oh, I'm just going to turn off these satellites so that, the Russian military can't operate. Like,
Ukrainian military.
Very interesting. Ukrainian military. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. Yeah. Look, this is an argument for, why you don't give one person this kind of control. Right. Like mm-hmm. this is incredibly dangerous. Elon Musk is an American citizen. Right. I know. Oh, well, he's from South Africa. Yeah. But he's an American citizen now. Right. We have a very obvious position in this war. And it is not mm-hmm. On the side of Russia. It's obviously on the side of our allies, the Ukrainians. And here you have an American citizen playing very much with politics in this, right? And very much using his private business to interrupt and to favor an enemy of the United States. I find the argument interesting that people are like, well, Senator Warren and the Democrats want to go after Elon Musk about something he's doing in his private business, that's not acceptable. That's court. That's government overreach. I guess if you're looking at it from that perspective and you're not looking at it from a nuanced perspective, those satellites, like, those are partially paid for by government contracts. Like, he's not doing that. It's not technically a full-on personal business in that regard.
You can also make the argument that what he did could be construed as aiding a foreign adversary.
That is correct.
In a military conflict, which is against the law. It doesn't matter whether you're doing it under the guise of business or not. If there were some smoking gun out there where it's like, yeah, like Russia paid him, you know, like Vladimir Putin paid him, you know, X millions of dollars to do this. That's a crime. It doesn't matter whether Elon Musk is in the government or not. Like, that is literally illegal to provide aid and comfort to enemies of the United States in a conflict. Now, are we directly involved in this conflict? No, like, we're not an active participant in this war, but we are, but to Jay's point, like, we have a stance in this war. Like, we are funding one side of the war.
We have a vested interest.
Specifically.
Certainly.
Right. So again, like, and you know, this is where investigations are not a problem, because again, like, now we have, this is what probable cause actually looks like.
Yes.
When you're looking to investigate somebody. So yeah.
Do I think this will go anywhere? Unfortunately, no.
No, probably not.
I think it should. But I also know that Musk is the richest man in the world, and people just let this guy do whatever he wants. Here's the thing.
Well, again, to your argument, to kind of support the argument that you made earlier as well, this is why it's also like Republicans and people on the right that love to talk about how we need to privatize more public interests. This is exactly why you don't want to do that. Like the reason that they won't go after him harshly is because he owns SpaceX, which is, for all intents and purposes, like the only entity in America doing space development at this point actively. Like, NASA's not doing, you know, a whole lot with it outside of like the rover project and telescope and everything like that. But that, you know, it, like, NASA's not spun up right now. He owns Twitter, which, you know, not a government property at all, but it is a massive communication hub that's used, you know, worldwide and across the country and for a variety of things. Privatizing public interest goods is very bad, because you can't then necessarily control what those people do with it.
Yeah, I look, the government's connection to Starlink and other Musk products is dangerous. It's incredibly dangerous. SpaceX, like, potentially could be quite dangerous when you're talking about sort of a ton of space travel and not just, you know, doing what they're doing, which what they're doing right now, I got no problem with. It's kind of interesting and, like, whatever. If NASA's not spinning up any spaceships, it's cool if somebody is, right? And NASA's working with them. However, Starlink is a different conversation. Like, it really is. It's an internet provider, but it's an internet provider in certain parts of the world that we are going to overlap with, right? If China, for some reason, actually for a very real reason, decides to go into Taiwan, like, what if Taiwan, I don't know how much Starlink is used in Taiwan, but what if this happens again? And he wants to decide, hey man, I sell a bunch of Teslas in China, right? I've got Tesla factories there. Do I really want to get in the way of allowing Taiwan to use my internet connection so that they can fight off the Chinese army? No, turn it off. Let China take them. Fuck,
yeah.
What do I care?
So, or China explicitly will just be like, hey, do you want to continue selling and manufacturing Teslas?
Yeah, that's Teslas actually more likely. Like, don't fuck around.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're like the second biggest.
And he would absolutely do it, because Mr. Free Speech Absolutist, turns out, like, once Twitter was bought and he was on there, doesn't have a whole lot to say about China, does he? Weirdly enough.
Likes that money, right? So it's a little dangerous. It's a lot dangerous, actually. So I don't know, man. I'm color me in the camp of, we should arrest Elon Musk immediately. Hashtag Team Volvo. I don't like that. Like, whatever you think of the guy, like, I think he's largely ruined Twitter or X or whatever the fuck, right? But this to me is less about like, oh, that guy's kind of a douchebag. This is like you're quite literally aiding and abetting what I would argue is almost a criminal enterprise, the Russian government. Mm-hmm. So no thank you. No thank you. So yes.
To bring it back around full circle, I don't know if you saw, but Vladimir Putin coming out saying, oh, like Republicans moving to impeach Joe Biden just shows, or sorry, Republicans or not Republicans being impeached Joe Biden, Donald Trump being prosecuted shows the rot in American politics. Of course. pot, kettle, et cetera,
like,
et cetera.
He was so. Like, they never fucking impeach me, baby. Like, yeah, I bet not. Yeah. Like, we're gonna impeach Vladimir Putin. Hey, what happened to that guy who just said that? Oh, he just fell out of a window and shot himself in the
head. Sorry, they launched a missile at his plane. He's dead now.
Oops. Dude, that picture of Prigozhin in the plane, like pointing out there's a rocket coming. Like, that's a good meme, man. That's a good meme. I like that too.
Oh, goodness.
All right. That is it for us. Any other parting sentiments there, Brad?
Definitely not going to be hiding under any large trees right now. So
probably a good idea. All right. Hopefully we'll make it till next week. We'll see you guys next time.
See ya.